Section 6. General Management. Lesson 2. Let's dive into the topic of fees and investments within condominium and cooperative associations, as it's essential for residents to understand how these elements work. First off, when it comes to fees charged for the use of common property, there's a clear process in place. Any fee that the association wants to impose for the use of common property, such as the swimming pool, must receive approval through a majority vote from the members of the association or be authorized in the documents. This ensures that everyone has a say in how their community resources are managed. Additionally, if the board decides to implement guest fees, they can do so as long as these fees are authorized by the community documents. This means that the board has the flexibility to manage how guests use the common areas, which can help maintain the quality and availability of these shared spaces. Now, let's talk about investments. The Community Association Board holds the responsibility of managing and safeguarding the association's funds, and they have specific objectives they must keep in mind while doing so. The first priority is safety, which reflects their fiduciary responsibility to protect the community's assets. This means that the board must choose investment options where the principal is not at risk. Next, liquidity is crucial. The funds need to be readily available for use when necessary. This ensures that the association can meet its financial obligations and respond to any unexpected expenses that may arise. Finally, the board also aims for a return on investment. This means they are looking for opportunities that will not only preserve the capital, but also grow it over time, benefiting the community as a whole. By balancing these three objectives, safety, liquidity, and return on investment, the board can effectively manage the association's finances and contribute to the overall well-being of the community. All right, let's dive into the important topic of enforcing community living documents. You know, living in a community means that we all have to consider the needs and rights of our neighbors. It's about finding that balance where everyone can enjoy their space while also contributing to the greater good. This is where the enforcement of our community association's governing documents and the rules set by the board come into play. These rules are designed to protect everyone's rights and ensure that we all can coexist peacefully. Now, it's crucial that any enforcement actions taken by the board are fair and just. This is where the concept of due process comes in. Due process is a formal procedure that safeguards the rights of everyone involved, ensuring that no one is unfairly treated. The board's enforcement efforts should also be reasonable, uniform, and consistent. This means that the rules apply equally to everyone, and the board should act in a way that is fair and predictable. When someone violates a rule, the best approach is often voluntary correction. This means that instead of jumping straight to penalties, we encourage individuals to correct their actions willingly. However, if a situation cannot be resolved amicably, it may be necessary to take legal action through the circuit court. In such cases, the prevailing party, meaning the one who wins the case, can recover their costs, which may include damages or even injunctive relief, which is a court order to stop a certain action. It's also important to note that if the board fails to act on a violation, it could limit the association's ability to enforce rules later on. This is based on a legal principle known as equitable estoppel, which essentially means that if the board doesn't enforce a rule consistently, they might lose the right to enforce it in the future. Additionally, enforcement actions should not be delayed unnecessarily. Timeliness is key in maintaining order within the community. Now, let's talk about the authority of the board when it comes to imposing fines and suspensions. The community association has the right to impose fines on its members, tenants, guests, or invitees if they fail to comply with the governing documents, bylaws, or reasonable rules of the association. However, there are limits to these fines. For instance, a fine cannot exceed $100 for a single violation, but if the violation continues, the board can impose a fine for each day it persists up to a maximum of $1,000. In a homeowners association, the total fine can exceed $1,000 if the governing documents allow for it. Before any fine or suspension is imposed in condominiums and cooperatives, the board must provide at least 14 days' notice to the owner, and, if applicable, any occupants or guests. This notice must include an opportunity for a hearing before a committee made up of at least three members who are not affiliated with the board. If this committee does not approve the proposed fine or suspension by majority vote, then it cannot be enforced. Their role is simply to review and decide whether to uphold or reject the board's decision. If the committee approves the fine, the owner will receive notice and payment will be due within 5 days. The association must ensure that this notice is delivered either by mail or in person to the parcel owner and any relevant parties. In homeowners associations, the hearing is mandatory. After the board adopts a fine, they must send a notice to the member at least 14 days before the hearing. This notice should detail the alleged violation, what needs to be done to correct it, and the date and location of the hearing. Importantly, the parcel owner has the right to attend this hearing via phone or other electronic means. After the hearing, the committee will provide written notice of their findings to the parcel owner, including any fines or suspensions that were approved or rejected, along with guidance on how to remedy the violation if applicable. Finally, when it comes to collecting fines, these are enforced through the county court. However, it's worth noting that in condominium and cooperative associations, fines cannot become a lien on the unit or share. For homeowners associations, fines under $1,000 also cannot be placed as a lien against a parcel. This ensures that while there are consequences for violations, the enforcement process remains fair and manageable for all community members. Let's dive into some important statutory provisions that affect how property owners can use their homes, especially in condominium and homeowners associations. First up, we have the topic of renewable energy devices. According to Florida Statute 163.04, if you live in a condominium or a homeowners association, there is statutory language that protects your right to install energy devices like solar collectors or clotheslines. Essentially, any deed restriction, covenant, or similar agreement that tries to block you from putting these renewable energy devices on your property is not valid. This means that if you want to install solar panels on your roof, you can't be denied permission by any entity that has the authority to approve or deny changes to your property, as long as it's within the boundaries of your unit. However, that entity can suggest where on your roof these solar collectors should go, as long as it doesn't interfere with their effectiveness. Next, let's talk about condominium associations and renewable energy resources. Even if the governing documents of your condominium association say otherwise, the Board of Administration has the power to install solar collectors, clotheslines, or other energy-efficient devices on common property without needing approval from the unit owners. This is a great way to ensure that everyone benefits from renewable energy options. Now, if you're a law enforcement officer living in a community association, there's good news for you. The association cannot prohibit you from parking your assigned law enforcement vehicle in areas where you or your guests have the right to park. This is an important provision that ensures law enforcement officers can do their jobs without unnecessary restrictions. Moving on to homeowners associations, there are also some important rules regarding what you can install, display, or store on your property. Regardless of any covenants or restrictions, homeowners and their tenants cannot be stopped from putting items on their property as long as they're not visible from the street or adjacent properties. This includes things like artificial turf, boats, flags, and recreational vehicles. So, if you've been wanting to spruce up your yard or store your RV, you have some leeway here. Speaking of flags, homeowners in these associations have the right to display certain flags. You can proudly show a portable, removable United States flag or the official flag of Florida, and you can also display a flag representing the military or first responders, as long as it's not larger than 4.5 feet by 6 feet. Additionally, you can put up a freestanding flagpole up to 20 feet high on your property, provided it doesn't obstruct sight lines at intersections or sit within an easement. This means you can show your patriotism without worrying about association rules getting in the way. For condominium associations, the rules about flags are similar. Unit owners can display a United States flag respectfully, and on certain holidays, they can also display military flags. Additionally, if you want to attach a religious decoration to your door or mantle, the association cannot refuse your request as long as it meets specific size requirements. Now, let's talk about electric and natural gas vehicles in condominiums. If you're a unit owner, you have the right to install an electric vehicle charging station or a natural gas fuel station in your designated parking area. The catch is that the installation shouldn't cause any irreparable damage to the property. You'll also be responsible for the costs associated with the installation, operation, and maintenance of these stations, including insurance. If you ever decide you no longer need the station, you'll have to cover the costs of removing it as well. The association can set some reasonable requirements for these installations, like ensuring they comply with safety standards and local building codes. They can also ask for proof of insurance and may require you to reimburse them for any increased insurance costs due to your installation. However, the association must allow you to access the common elements of the property to install and maintain your charging station. Lastly, the Board of Administration can also choose to install electric vehicle charging stations or natural gas fuel stations on common property and set fees for their use. In summary, these statutory provisions are designed to protect your rights as a property owner, while also ensuring that associations can maintain some level of control over property use. Whether it's about renewable energy, parking for law enforcement, or displaying flags, it's essential to know your rights and responsibilities within your community. Here are 10 multiple choice questions based on the provided lesson about fees, investments, and statutory provisions regarding property use in condominium and cooperative associations. 1. What must happen for an association to impose a new fee for the use of common property? A. The board can decide unilaterally. B. A majority vote from the members is required. C. The fee can be implemented immediately. D. The fee must be approved by the state. The correct answer is B. For an association to impose a new fee for the use of common property, a majority vote from the members is required. 2. Which of the following is not one of the three primary objectives the board must consider when managing the association's funds? A. Profit maximization. B. Safety. C. Liquidity. D. Return on investment. The correct answer is A. Profit maximization is not one of the three primary objectives the board must consider when managing the association's funds, however, safety, liquidity, and return on investment are the three primary objectives. 3. What is the maximum fine that can be imposed for a single violation in a community association? A. $500. B. $250. C. $100. D. $1,000. The correct answer is C. The maximum fine that can be imposed for a single violation in a community association is $100. 4. Before imposing a fine, how many days' notice must the board provide to the owner? A. 7 days. B. 30 days. C. 21 days. D. 14 days. The correct answer is D. Before imposing a fine, the board must provide 14 days' notice to the owner. 5. Under Florida Statute 163.04, which of the following is true regarding renewable energy devices? A. Associations can deny installation of solar panels. B. Homeowners must pay a fee to install solar collectors. C. Deed restrictions blocking renewable energy devices are not valid. D. Only the board can install renewable energy devices. The correct answer is C. Under Florida Statute 163.04, regarding renewable energy devices, deed restrictions blocking renewable energy devices are not valid. 6. What is the role of the committee that reviews proposed fines or suspensions? A. To impose fines without a hearing. B. To approve or reject the board's proposed fines by majority vote. C. To collect fines from owners. D. To manage the association's finances. The correct answer is B. The role of the committee that reviews proposed fines or suspensions is to approve or reject the board's proposed fines by majority vote. 7. Which of the following items can homeowners not display on their property according to homeowners association rules? A. Items visible from the street. B. United States flag. C. artificial turf. D. Recreational vehicles. The correct answer is A. According to Homeowners Association rules, homeowners cannot display items visible from the street. 8. What is the maximum height allowed for a freestanding flagpole on a homeowner's property? A. 10 feet. B. 15 feet. C. 25 feet. D. 20 feet. The correct answer is D. The maximum height allowed for a freestanding flagpole on a homeowner's property is 20 feet. 9. If a unit owner wants to install an electric vehicle charging station, who is responsible for the costs associated with the installation? A. The association. B. The unit owner. C. The local government. D. The previous owner. The correct answer is B. If a unit owner wants to install an electric vehicle charging station, the homeowner is responsible for the costs associated with the installation. 10. What happens if the board fails to act on a violation? A. The violation is automatically dismissed. B. The board can still impose fines later. C. The violation becomes a permanent issue. D. It may limit the association's ability to enforce rules in the future. The correct answer is D. If the board fails to act on a violation, it may limit the association's ability to enforce rules in the future. Hope you did well on this lesson. The information in your student manual for this lesson is on pages 183 to 189.